face to face. We'll just sing verse 1 for now, and then we'll have missionary moments. Go ahead, Valerie. 600, face to face.
Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory I shall see.
Welcome, everyone.
Good morning. I'd like to start off Sunday school with on a light note, because the subject that's at hand this morning is not necessarily a real bright subject, but we'll get to that. But I wanted to share this morning because it has to do with gardening. It talks about planting your spring garden, and this came from a pastor friend back in New York, and it's titled "Planting Your Spring Garden," and it actually is from his mom. He got it from his mom, and it says, "For the garden of your daily living, plant 3 rows of peas. 1, peace of mind. 2, peace of heart. And 3, peace of soul. Secondly, plant 4 rows of squash. 1, squash gossip, squash indifference, squash grumbling, and squash selfishness." Which that one really fits in with the Sunday school lesson. Thirdly, plant 4 rows of lettuce. Let us be faithful. Let us be kind. Let us be patient. Let us really love one another. And then, no garden is complete without turnips. Turn up for meetings. Turn up for service. Turn up to help one another. And to conclude our garden, we must have time. Time for each other. Time for family. And time for friends. Water freely with patience and cultivate with love. There is much fruit in your garden because you reap what you sow. Pass it on. We are going to delve into hamartiology this morning. That would be the study of sin. I trust that you were able to get a handout from the library counter. They're there. And so, to introduce, I will read what is written on your paper there for you, but I'll read it. The sins of man and the holiness of God are both infinite in proportion. Under satanic influence, people often tended to minimize the sinfulness of man. And in so doing, they also minimize the redemptive plan of God. Sin and redemption are to be as sharply contrasted as hell and heaven. Interpreters faithful to the scripture recognize the infinite extent of both. And that's written by Schaefer and Walbard. It's a quote from them. So, realizing the infinite extent of both. And I know my task is not soteriology. Study of salvation, but I have to bring up grace, because if all I talk about is sin and no grace, we're going to go from here not encouraged. Number one, the origin of sin. If somebody could turn to Isaiah 14, verse 12, I'll turn to Ezekiel 28. But the origin of sin in the universe, that has to do with Satan. So Ezekiel and Isaiah. Okay, the person that has Isaiah, could you go ahead and read that? Because I'd like to read Isaiah before Ezekiel, even though I have them in the different order. 12 through 14. So what are the two words that you hear repeated over and over again in those verses?
I will.
That is Satan putting himself above God. So Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning in verse 11, says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." So there in Ezekiel we see the I wills of God and what God will do as a result of Satan's fall. And so the origin of sin in the universe has to do with Satan himself and his fall. And we can look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, and I will find it eventually. 1 John chapter 3. Wow. Sorry, I'm fumbling. 1 John 3, verse 8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So the main verse to go with our point here, or main part of the verse to go with our point here, is that for the devil sinneth from the beginning. So that would be the origin of sin in the universe. And then the origin of sin in the human race, Adam. We'll turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Probably a very familiar verse to some. 12 through 15. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that being Adam, many be dead, much more than the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So we see the origin of sin in the human race by one man, which is, if we didn't understand, verse 14 tells us, is Adam. And so it entered human race through Adam. And I know we spent a whole Sunday on the fall of man, and I'm not going to go over all that again, but the fact that the sin for the human race did come through Adam. Any thoughts or questions on either of those points at this point, at this time? Okay, we can also look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, which is a little bit of a review, but it does also show. And verse 17, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then verse chapter 3 and verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. So we see, okay, so Eve took of the fruit, she gave to her husband, and he did eat. If you look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it tells us that sin entered by one man. That would be Adam. And it explains it further in verse 14. So that's why I would say sin is through the man. All right, Genesis 3:17. Other scripture backs up the fact that it was actually Adam's taking and eating of it that sin entered the human race through Adam, through the man. And I don't know that this bears much fruit, but the fact that Adam was the one that received the command in the beginning, it's makes him responsible as well. So all those things together, plus 1 Corinthians is, or Romans chapter 5 is very clear on that as well. Anything else? So C, go ahead. Where that Eve was deceived. So then C, the origin of sin in the individual would be in the heart. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolish, all these things, evil things, come from within and defile the man. So the origin of sin in the individual is from the heart. Jeremiah talks about our heart and that we can't even know our heart. It's desperately wicked. I know I didn't say it in order, but Jeremiah talks about that as well. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So the origin of sin in man is from the heart. Any comments on that or the origin of sin before we move on to some definitions? Number two, the definitions of sin. And this comes from the Ryrie's book that we each have. Pages 109 to 110. The first example of sin is an illusion. It really doesn't exist. Well, that is false. The idea there is that the more we get to know, the less we will see. We'll see that sin doesn't exist. As we learn more and more and get to know more and more as people, then we'll see that sin doesn't exist. That's what they say. And that's why it's all caps, that is definitely false thinking. Sin is an eternal principle of evil outside of God and independent of Him. That also is false, called dualism. I'm not going to try and explain that. That's beyond my understanding, if you will. But the yin-yang type of thinking is all that is part of it. So that idea is false. Thirdly, or C, sin is selfishness. Well, that is true, but according to Ryrie, and I agree, that's inadequate. Be better said that selfishness is sin, because there is sin other than selfishness. And I think the example that he gives is that of somebody stealing food from somebody that's rich and giving it to the poor. That's not selfish. They're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for somebody else, but they're still stealing, which still makes it wrong, and it's still sin. I'm going by what I read here, but I understand. Anyway. So the biblical definition, according to Ryrie, and I agree, is of sin is lawlessness. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. I should have kept my finger in 1 John, because for some reason I'm having a hard time finding it. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, where it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." And so the word there, anomia, means violation of law. And so lawlessness, therefore, is what is meant by the word transgresseth there in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. So a couple other additions. Therefore, sin is disobedience to God's law. James chapter 2 and verse 10. We can look at that as well. James chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." And this quote here from the Westminster Catechism says, "Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of any law of God given as a rule to the reasonable creature." So, I guess for me to understand that a little bit better, I worded it this way with the help of my wife. Sin is the lack of conformity unto. Instead of any want, it's a lack of conformity. It means the same thing, they just said it differently. But an inclusive definition of sin would be anything that does not conform to the glory of God, as we see in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Does anybody want to quote that? "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And 1 Corinthians 10:31. Is there anybody that wants to quote that one?
"Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God."
And I think that is the verse that you've chosen for this year?
Yes.
It is. So, it's an inclusive definition of sin would be anything that does not conform to the glory of God. And Schaefer and Wolverd worded it this way, under therefore sin is a violation of God's holiness. The holy character of God is the final and only standard by which moral values may be accurately judged. The influence of the standards of social customs over the dictates of an unsure and perverted conscience are not sufficient to identify sin. Sin is sin because it is unlike God. Thank you for doing that. I didn't, obviously didn't go that far with it, but could have. Thank you. We will see that negative prefix on our next page a few times. So the letter A in front of the word in Greek is a negative connotation, if you will. So any more thoughts on the definitions of sin or comments? Okay. So thirdly, some biblical terms of sin. Stated here, there are only three words used in the Bible for the word grace. Hebrew words would be, and I don't know that much about saying Greek, but or Hebrew, but I would not pronounce the C. So it would be hen, hesed, which we know hesed from, I know it because I didn't get it right on a test in class back in college, and there was only one person in the whole class that got it right, and somehow that made it stick in my mind because hesed is loving kindness. And it's God's loving kindness toward us, or His grace. And then the Greek is charis, word. But approximately 20 words which describe sin. This is not to suggest that God is not a God of grace, but that a man's propensity is to ignore his own sin. Grace greater than all my sin. It's in a song. I can't name the name. Somebody probably can, but anyway. Grace greater than all my sin. Is that the wonderful grace of Jesus? No? Anyway.
Grace greater than our sin.
Oh, that is the actual name? Okay. All right. So anyway, some terms as we work down through here. The first one, probably the one we know the most, is missing the mark. And the Hebrew word, hada. And if we see that in, this is kind of interesting, in Judges chapter 20 and verse 16, it might be difficult to see exactly how it applies, but I think once we get there, Judges chapter 20 and verse 16, it says, among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. That makes Joshua happy. Everyone could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. So that's where the word hada is the word not miss. So these men actually did not miss the mark, but that's where that word is used in Hebrew, Genesis chapter 13. And I don't necessarily want to look at all of these. Actually, let's skip that and go to Psalm 51. That is more applicable. Psalm 51 and verses 4 and 5. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So that word iniquity is that word hada. And then in the Greek, the word hamartia, which is where we get hamartiology. Obviously, we know Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. where it says, and I'm not quoting it because I'll get it wrong, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That word sinned there is the word hamartia. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins," hamartia, "according to the Scriptures." So that word has to do with missing the mark. I have heard it mentioned before, and I thought about it a little bit, that when you miss the mark, you hit something else. And that's where our sin ends up, is that we're missing the mark that we should be, and we end up off somewhere else and in sin. So, any thoughts on those verses or those words and the missing of the mark? Anybody? All right. The second one would be bad and evil, which is the Hebrew word is ra. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Maybe somebody else that gets there first could read that and give my voice a break. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. So that word evil would be our word ra. And then in the Greek would be kakos, and that would be in Mark chapter 7. We already read that section, but I'll read that verse again. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. It says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and so on." So the word evil there and evil thoughts. And then paneros, the other Greek word that's there, would be in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. And if somebody could look up Matthew 13:19. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So the word evil, there's our word paneros. And Matthew 13:19, probably the word wicked, there would be our word paneros. So maybe as we look at these different words, I guess it gives us an idea of how many different ways, if you will, that sin is born in our lives. As we, the things that we do and things that we say day by day, things that we need to be aware of, as we look at these different words in Scripture that reflect what sin really is. The quote we read earlier at the beginning of these terms where it says, "But the man's propensity is to ignore his own sin." Getting ahead of myself, there are sins of ignorance because we don't know or are learning and hasn't been revealed to us yet. And we'll get into that more next week. But what I'm saying is by recognizing some of these words in Scripture would help us in our daily walk as we recognize what sin really is. So I'm saying that to say there's a good reason to look at these words. And it's not just an exercise to use up time, if you will.
Valerie?
It is a choice. And that is probably one thing we'll get into more next week. But yes. So then letter C, to rebel and transgress. And let's look at, I know I'm picking on Psalm 51, and there's a very good reason for that. That is where David is dealing with sin in his life. So Psalm 51 and verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." So that word transgression in verse 3 would be the Hebrew word pashah. And then in Romans chapter 2, verse 25, and I know we'll have to leave most of these for you to look up yourself, but Romans chapter 2 and verse 25 is the word parabetes, and 2:25. "For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." So a breaker or a transgressor of the law there in that verse. So then there's the word for iniquity and guilt. And then there's several other Hebrew words that are there. I want to look at Psalm 58. Psalm 58 and verse 3 is under letter D, taha, to deliberately wander away. Psalm 58, 3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." So they go astray. That word, deliberately wandering away. And I was glad that verse came up. Might not mean as much to you, but it's a verse that I had to memorize when I was in a class in college. And then, so seeing it again brought it back to my memory. But it has to do with our sin and the fact that we do go astray. And then unrighteousness, we're very familiar with ungodly and hypocrite. And because we're out of time, I'll leave those verses for you to look up yourself. But some biblical terms of sin, and if nothing else, the encouragement to realize that God's grace is greater than all of these things. And that as we turn to Him, 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us for all unrighteousness. So, didn't want this to be a gloom and doom study, and so to try and interject some of those things into it to help us as we walk through the study. And it's an important study. There are people who, as I have read, there are groups that want to forget certain parts of this, such as original sin. And I can't for the life of me figure out where they're coming from or where they're going by doing that, unless they're not wanting accountability. Or I didn't find a definite answer as to why they chose to not believe that part. But I think we've seen enough verses to show that, yes, that's where we stand, and that's the beginning of the study of sin. And so we'll look forward to continuing next week. Any comments or thoughts before we close in prayer? Okay, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You, Lord, for who You are. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace and for Your mercy that You bestow upon us, that as we confess our sin to You, You are faithful and just to forgive us. And we thank You for that. Thank you for opening our eyes, reminding us of things that maybe we already knew, but also showing us maybe some new things that you have for us from your word. And we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.